This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to Getaway Day here on WEEI Afternoons. And after that call you just heard from last night's latest loss at Fenway Park from the Red Sox, they may just want to get away from Fenway Park. It's funny. One series, it looks like they feel quite comfortable at home, sweeping the Cards, putting up 18 runs. The next series looks like you need to give them a torpedo bat or a wiffle ball bat or a tennis racket so they can actually hit the baseball. We were prescient yesterday, and I know Ted Johnson, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Andy Hart here. I know Big Ted is he's fond of the victory lap when he's right. I'm going to call it the loser lap when I'm right, and not because I'm a loser, but I was right about something negative. This team's issue right now is the strikeouts, and we talked to Alex Cora about it yesterday. 14 freaking strikeouts last night. They lead the major league. Major leagues with 126 strikeouts. They get the zombie runner from second to third in extra innings. Casas does his job. Just hit a ground ball to second. Get the guy to third. One out. Boom. We're going to win the strikeout, strikeout, game over. You can't put that run across the plate. It's got to be frustrating. Before we get into this conversation, I do want to remind everybody that we're only on for a little over an hour here. Our boy Dan Ball will have the Mass Mutual pregame show.
Hawk is on the pregame show?
Indeed. Stepping up to the big Christian Arcan chair, 310. He'll be previewing today's game with the Blue Jays as you try to avoid the sweep and try to, I think they call feel-good plane ride or whatever. You want to get on the plane after a victory to Chicago. But I also, real quick, want to play that audio from yesterday when we had Alex Cora on the show, and we asked him about strikeouts, and he made his feelings on strikeouts quite clear. Does that concern you? Are you worried about how many times this team strikes out? How do you look at that?
I hate strikeouts, but sometimes it's part of your DNA, right? What I look at is, are we swinging the strikes, right? And we are. Are we swinging and missing the strike zone too much? Yes, we are. But I truly believe with time, that's something we're going to get better at. This team is going to hit. We all know that. We got a lot of options. Guys that think they have made progress, Abreu, for example, driving the ball the other way. Casas is doing the same thing. When all clicks, it's fun to watch. We saw it against the Cardinals. We haven't seen it against the Jays.
Yeah, he hates strikeouts, so you know, it felt like Rafi Devers, Ted Johnson, was going to run away with the strikeout lead in this team, and he does lead the team, 19 strikeouts, but if you check right behind him for the most strikeouts on the team, guys by the name of Duran, Bregman, and Story all have 15 strikeouts right behind Devers, 19, and that's called the top of your lineup. That's called a problem, Ted.
That is the heart of your lineup, so that is absolutely brutal, just these last three games against Toronto. 30 strikeouts, unbelievable. And you know, I was kind of alluding to this yesterday. It's kind of like, all right, you know, they're aggressive at the plate. I mean, they're swinging at a lot of these pitches, yeah, and missing it. So you'd rather them die standing on their feet than on their knees. But my goodness, last night was ridiculous. How bad they were at the plate. 2 for 29 with runners in scoring position in these last three games against Toronto. The Red Sox, unbelievably. It's kind of shocking to me that they're only a game under 500 when you consider that they lead the major leagues in strikeouts and in fielding errors, do the Red Sox. So here's the thing. We were all hyped about this team going into the season. Start off 1-4. That took some of the wind out of the sails. But then they, you know, got back to, you know, two games over 500. And we were back feeling good about this team. And so with these expectations for this team, this is inexcusable. This is frustrating. This is not acceptable at this point to see them swinging the bats the way they are when you consider how good these players are, at least on paper and going in. Just really disappointing, Fitzy, to see how this team played against Toronto these last few games.
Ted, I was going to say, now that the stock market and the S&P have stabilized, buckle up, because the ride of the year in New England is going to be the 2025 Red Sox. And I got to tell you, this team, only 13 games in, is testing the resolve, Andy, of the Fenway fanboy, the Joker on Jersey Street, the lover of Lansdowne. I felt like I was sitting in a veterinarian's waiting room listening to Will and Lenny last night on the broadcast, and I caught the whole damn game listening on the Odyssey app on a very long traffic-filled ride home. Side note, thanks to whoever got in the accident on the Mass Pike last night. Almost as much fun as listening to Trevor Story strike out with the man on third, one out, the ghost runner made his way over to third, zombie runner, whatever you want to call him. You have to come through. I'm sorry, you're healthy. You're getting paid $20-something million. Just lift a fly ball, poke it to the right-hand side. Bunt if you're having a hard time around on Hoffman's slider. Something, Ted. Like, it was just so – and like Flemdog was so frustrated. Lenny just kept trying to talk and analyze through it. Like, yeah, well, you know, Gausman went eight, so that's going to make it easier for Hoffman to possibly go two. Everyone's going to have the plus stuff. You need your starter to go long. Hauk had his best start of the year. What was the excuse? And so help me, Zod, if I hear one more person talk about, wow, it was cold outside, and you hear the game time temperatures and the conditions, they canceled in Worcester. The Blue Jays have to play the same through the same crap, too. And they found a way, and these Red Sox are not. Andy, they're making me think they might be, and loved us some Corey yesterday, but these guys might not either be ready or they might be SAWFT.
Or just overrated.
Let me ask you guys something real quick, Fitzy, to that point, you know, the bunting. You know, you got Hamilton at the top of the 11th. There's no outs. Oh, Hamilton's up. It. What do you hear? How does Alex Cora like to describe his team? It's a what? It's an athletic team, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you see athleticism all over the place, right? But if you think you have an athletic team, isn't, you know, with the ghost runner there, or whatever they call the zombie runner there at second, isn't that a prime time to bunt and move him over to third base? That's what athletic teams do. Small ball, athletic. Just get guys advancing on the base, right. On the base pass. And they didn't do it in that situation. You had David Hamilton swinging out of his shoes and not even coming close. I don't understand. Nope. If you have an athletic team like the Red Sox have, a runner on second with no outs in extra innings, and you don't try and bunt there or consider bunting. It wasn't even a thought in their minds. And that's that philosophy of having an athletic team but not having small ball tendencies in clutch situations is a little bit I scratch my head on that one.
And you look at the Tanner Houck start. It's a 1-1 game in the first, and then, well, it's still a 1-1 game going into extra innings. That's a game you have to win. That's a game you have to win at home. That's a game you have to win to end a losing streak. So I did a little research, boys, because your lineup is striking out a lot, where might you look for a little boost, right? You might look to Worcester, because Fitzy, we talked about it early. There's a couple guys down there that want to be in the big leagues, that are the talk of the town. You know who leads the Woo Sox in strikeouts?
Let me guess. Is it Roman Anthony?
Yeah, you know who's second?
Marcelo Meyer.
In 9 games they've played, the two have combined to strike out 24 times, 13 for Roman Anthony, 11 for Meyer. Roman Anthony
trying too hard to impress.
Yeah. Grissom is actually playing well. I just wanted to do a checkup because, you know, you kind of lose track of what they're exactly doing, even though it's only an hour west or whatever on the Pike.
They'll fit right in at Fenway at that pace.
Absolutely.
Hey, ball hawk, getting ready for the pregame show.
That makes me wonder, though. So Alex Cora is your manager, and he says, I hate strikeouts. But he has a team and a minor league team with stars down there that are all striking. Like, is this fundamentally something, and I know Major League Baseball, I got to throw it out there, Fitzy, the second most strikeouts in baseball is the Dodgers, and they're a pretty good team with pretty good offensive players. They're going to score a lot of runs, all of that. It is 2025, and when you have launch angle and these modern styles of hitting.
Spin rate.
All that crap. Yeah, the numbers are fine, but the reality is, if you don't put the ball in play, you can't win. You can't score runs. You can't advance runners in scoring position and do all these things that good baseball teams do. And now I'm starting to wonder, you mentioned it's Fitzy right off the bat. Is this some sort of a weird helter-skelter team where we're going to have to accept that there's going to be 4 days, 5 days a week where they score 8 runs a game, and then there's going to be a week where they just strike out all the time and we're looking at all these losses? Like, are they going to be that inconsistent? Is this early sample of losing streak, win streak, losing streak? Is this what we're going to see?
I think this is what we best buckle up for, and I can't for the life of me figure out why they came out the gate this way. Now, it's still a small sample size because now we're only, Ted, approximately 1/12 the way through the season. It's only half. We're not even halfway through April. So, again, small sample size, early, cold weather, blah, blah, blah. But there's just something strange that it's like not just a couple of guys. It's team-wide, save for Willie or Abreu. They're just swinging through things. I know Alex Cora was complimentary, or at least heartened by the fact that they're swinging at good pitches. Well, they were mostly until last night, and then everyone just took the big old cheese on those sliders that Hoffman was throwing. They had no chance again. And I understand. He's a top-tier reliever. And I would like to also point out, Andy, we've been getting great intel from these Alex Cora interviews. Don't forget, our first chat with him on WEI Afternoons a couple weeks ago, when we talked about how he felt about the AL East, the first team that he mentioned about any competition in the AL, he said, Toronto, that's a good baseball team.
Plus, Toronto, did you notice their stars? Not just can Toronto play in the cold, apparently, even though they usually play in a dome, so that's weird. In football, dome teams are soft teams that don't like to go outside. The Blue Jays seem fine going outside in the cold. Mm-hmm. But have you noticed that guys named, I don't know, Springer, Guerrero, Bichette, the guys that are supposed to be their stars, their top of the order, they seem like they're hitting just fine. They seem like they're the ones that are getting the job done when the Blue Jays need a big hit. I mean, hell, George Springer clearly loves Fenway Park or whatever, playing the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. So that's another, you know, I've talked about it that I think stars win in the postseason. Hell, this series has been an example of stars just winning in the regular season, the top of their lineup and their studs getting it done. And your studs are striking out and walking back to the plate, or as Ted says, waiting for the damn ball boy to come pick their crap up.
Yeah, I can't, you know, to your question of Fitzy, Andy, just, you know, do you expect this kind of helter-skelter? I don't. I still think it's just so damn early. And I do, as much as we don't want to talk about the weather, I think it is impacting some of the players, right? And it's just as cold in their dugout as it is in ours. But I do think there is a factor with some of these players, unfortunately. So if you want to call them, you know, soft, That might be an accurate portrayal. Well, it's going to warm up, and I just don't look. The record is not good, right? But they have won 5 games in a row here already, in part of this before they lost the last three. So they can go on a run. I feel like this is a team that is trying to capture some of that magic. I think that was brewing and stirring in spring training. They were feeling really good about themselves. I mean, if you listen to Alex Cora in spring training, I've never really heard him being as optimistic and as positive as he was, because I think he was just feeling something special was percolating. Well, it's still there. There's still a chance for that special thing to come out and start happening. I don't think that's dead, and I think that will happen. They just got to get on a little roll here, feeling good about themselves. But mostly, and you indicated, Andy, the hitters that you kind of acknowledged having the nights that they had, the meat of this Red Sox lineup is putrid right now. That's not going to be the whole season, guys. I just can't imagine those quality hitters being this bad all season long. So I think this is a momentary thing, and I do partly, unfortunately, I'm getting soft in my old age. We'll put some of it on the weather. I just think some of these guys aren't comfortable with it, and we'll play better when it does warm up.
Oh, my gosh, Ted. Bill Belichick could hear you shopping at the Excuse Factory.
I know. A big-necked
middle linebacker it's cold.
I'm just trying to – I just can't imagine that these guys – I mean, look, these guys were playing – a lot of these guys were hitting the cover off the ball in spring training, and then all of a sudden they can't.
Degrees, yeah.
Well, no, I think there. Let me make my case for me right there. So I don't like to make excuses, but I just can't imagine this is what we're seeing the last three games is a precursor to what's about to happen this season.
Grandpa gets a chill and he can't get rid of it at this age.
I know, dude.
Andy, he did tell us in that same interview where he talked about the Blue Jays being a team to be reckoned with. He did say we're a good baseball team. I think that was even the quote, like, we got a good baseball team. Like, he knows it. He feels it. We all can see it as well. But there's this – I'll stop short of saying team-wide malaise, but nobody has lit the rest of the – no one has been the spark for the rest of the team, save for a few bursts from Abreu and Bregman thus far.
Yeah, and Alex Cora, he reiterated that post-game last night. Even though you could tell he was frustrated with the strikeouts and the way the game had played out, a couple different times he said, I think just flat out, we're good. We're good. Like, we're going to be good. We're going to figure it out. We have good players. 617-779-7937. It's a short show, so let's bring in the callers a little bit early here. Let's go to Matt in Rhode Island, who has a comment on our Cora interview from yesterday. What's up, Matt?
Well, hey, what's up, guys?
Hey,
you know, the staffer that had that conversation, we'll call it, with Jim Rice, you know, about him not wanting Jim Rice to talk about, you know, his concept of hitting. This is a franchise-wide thing where they want to launch for extra base hits or home runs and, you know, deal with the strikeouts. But, like, I mean, in the cold weather and in the clutch, you know, other situations, like, you clearly want to play for contact. And I just think over the course of time, I think you're making a big mistake going with that theory. Like, you just said, the two guys down in Worcester, they're being taught that. Christian Campbell is being taught that. That's what the franchise theory is. All right,
thanks for the call, Matt.
That's amazing to me because you've been hearing that a lot, that they're being taught this. You talk about the conditions the last few nights with the wind coming in from the outfield. The last thing you want to do is get the ball up in the air when you have that wind as strong as it is.
And that's why I gave credit, and so did Cora. If you watched the game, when Tristan Casas moved the runner over, might have been your guy Bregman. Bregman, he moved him over to third as the first zombie runner, ground ball to second base.
Yep.
That's your job. And Cora went down the dugout, kind of weaving between people to seek him out and give him a little fist bump and, like, nice job. Unfortunately, then when you have Story and Campbell strike out with a walk, to Abreu, an intentional walk to Abreu.
How about the only walk of the game? Was that intentional walk to Abreu at that point?
It was infuriating. Last night was sort of when you take into account how bad the batting was and what you got out of Tanner Houck, who's been trying to turn things around, figure it out. You get a great performance out of him, and you go home a loser in that situation.
Yeah, good. I'm
that's
glad you're frustrated.
That's infuriating.
Good. I'm glad you used that choice of words, Andy, because, you know, again, people are going to hit the whole, like, oh, pump the brakes. It's only April 9th. Yes, I get it. It's early. It's April 10th.
And it counts.
But this game counts as much as a game in May or August or whatever else. Like, every dub you can get possible is a needed and necessary one. And, like, for all those fans, and, you know, boy, it's been
all
a lot of hubbub about the Red Sox organization not doing the fans any service by not moving the game up and keeping these games and people freezing their asses off. You know, to invest 4 hours of your life in a game and watch the team just go up there hacking away like they're half in the bag at a driving range at a bachelor party, not loving it, Ted.
Let's go back to the phone lines because they're lining up. People seem like they're emotionally invested in this team and in this game, and that's a good thing. It's not always good that you have to call and rant with us, but we'll let you do it. Chris in Springfield has a thought on last night's game and one of these Red Sox players off to a slow start. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, guys? Hey, I was just calling about Tristan Casas. I don't understand the love affair that Boston Red Sox have with this guy. He needs to get sent down back to AAA so fast. Explain to me from the past 2 years what he's done. He's an average defender at best. He's probably okay at best. And he can't even hit the ball. He's swinging for the fences every single time. Can't get on base. Can't hit with runners in scoring position, which seems to be like most of everybody on the Sox right now. But he needs to go back down to get some more swings in. I'm done with him.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know.
For Casas? Wow.
Done with him is strong.
I kind of understand it. I mean, what has Casas done that's, you know, gotten your blood pressure up this year? Not much.
Nothing
I
good.
Mean, Not much. I mean, yeah. And he's an average to below average first baseman, too, defensively. And, but he's just he's horrible at the plate right now, guys.
Yeah, no, he except for I do give him credit with that situational baseball in the 10th inning. I give him credit where some others didn't do their job. He did move the runner over. But big picture, I agree. He's part of the issues they've been having. Because it's funny, we were talking about holes in the lineup. Remember when they were actually hitting well, but we're like, I don't know, Rafaela down the bottom, the back end, this and that. The hole in the lineup right now is 1-9, basically. It starts at the leadoff hitter, and it goes all the way through the like, don't give me holes in the lineup. The holes in the lineup are near the top and the guys you're supposed to be counting on. So, Fitzy, I know you feel good, though, about the starting pitcher this afternoon, Walker Buehler. You think he is ready to shake off the sort of 8 ERA doldrums that we've seen to start the season?
Yes, I do, and I think he's going to do it on certainly his physical gifts, but also guile, wit, experience, and intelligence. This is, and if there's any one guy in the rotation who getting a first dub of the season would possibly propel them, like you say, to a happy flight, to a good old-fashioned getaway, to a place where they should be able to have a couple of get-right games, which is at insert name of whatever the hell they call Comiskey 2.0 on the south side of Chicago. Is it U.S. Cellular Field still? Or
it was.
I believe so.
Yeah. It's where a bad baseball team plays.
Even you, it's where very Betty
we're a team that it's over under for the season was like 52, 54 wins, something like that. Some ridiculously low number.
Smash that. And by the way, I just want to let everybody, just to let everyone in on some of the behind the scenes workings here on the show. In our little group chat last night, as we're all sharing some frustrations and bewilderment over the Celtics game, the Red Sox, whatever. I was talking about how frustrated I was. Andy said he hit the over on the Red Sox this year.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And I'm with him on that one. Only one person in the group chat smashed the under. That would be Mr. Boston Sports himself, your boy, Stanley Stiz Grimy Bruno.
Damn
great
right.
story, huh?
Damn right.
Well, and you're proud of
Shame
it?
Shame on you.
Excuse me, you're proud of that?
It's not, I'm proud. Listen, I'm a realist, Andy, as you like to say. I'm a realist.
Am too. I am.
And so I'm sorry. I think we're going to have broken hearts come the end of the season.
Mm-mm. So I will say a game like last night is one that makes me not feel as good about the over, because I do, like, for some reason we fixate on August games and September games more than March and April games. Like, somehow they don't both count. And then, you know, every baseball season, unless you're a truly elite team, comes down to, we were one game out of the wild card. Mm-hmm. Last night was a game you have to win. With Tanner Houck's performance, and then I keep going back to it, you did what you're supposed to do. You moved the zombie runner over to third. You have one out. Like, you got to win that game. You're at home. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you not win that game? All right, let's squeeze in one more phone call before we get to trending and Dan Ball, who's doing double duty today. How about that? Working with us and doing the Mass Mutual pregame show. Best man in the business. Let's go to Mike, and he has an idea for a parlay, I guess, for tonight's game for the Red Sox. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. What's going on? I just wanted your opinion on my five-leg parlay. I took on the game tonight. I took Bo Bichette for over 0.5 strikeouts, Alex Bregman for over 0.5 strikeouts, George Springer for over 0.5 strikeouts. Walker Buehler to have over 3.5 strikeouts. And Chris Bassett to have over 5.5 strikeouts. Now, keep in mind, Bregman was the only one on this app that had a over and under strikeouts for the Sox.
Yeah, I don't hate that, the way they've been striking out.
And, Definitely not.
Yeah. I mean, the Blue Jays only struck out 4 times last night, but no, I don't hate that. I like the over on the Ks. Also, still not exactly 85-degree spring training weather, so cold hands, gloves, and everything.
Walker Buehler has to have more than 3.5 strikeouts.
Fitzy told me he's going to be great. Fitzy said he's ready to
be a little warmer, right? They moved the game
get
up.
Ready. You can tap dance all over my take tomorrow if he isn't, but I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Walker Buehler is going to have a great start today.
Real quick, guys. Real quick, Andy. The name of the field in Chicago is Rate Field. Not Rake, but Rate.
Rate?
R-A-T-E.
Is it guaranteed rate?
It's not guaranteed Rate Field. It's just Rate Field.
I would rate the field poor, and the team that plays on it even more poor. They're all poorly rated. 617-779-7937. WEEI Afternoons, a getaway day here. We'll take you up to Mass Mutual pregame show around 3:15 with our guy Dan Ball, who's right now is going to give you what's trending.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.